Living the Law, Commentary for the August 30th, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19, verse 18. It seems like the entire world is bent on revenge for wrongs either real or imagined. And among an evil people who have proclaimed the death and idiocy of belief in God, that revenge often comes in the form of human justice untempered with mercy. Hundreds of thousands are marching into their graves as I write this, as pawns in the never-ending cycle of seeking revenge. Even some of those who profess to believe in God only believe in him as far as to excuse their limitless wrath against those who have wronged them, citing Old Testament passages about an eye for an eye. We see this in the abortion battles. How twisted is it to think that the best way to deal with abortion is to exact revenge on the women who receive them? It is ironic to claim to be pro-life while willing to destroy the lives of those mothers. I do not excuse the use of abortion as birth control, but I also do not excuse the evil done to destroy others in retribution. Mahatma Gandhi summed the problem up well when he said, "An eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind." The entire world has become blind to the fruits of this wicked cycle of harming others and the sad excuses offered to keep it going. Every evil reaction seems to be traceable to the fear that if someone gets away with something I do not like, society will fall apart and evil will win. But if we are all living in fear, then evil has already won. Technology has taken us a long way down that road, and without God, I am not sure we can find our way back. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, an endless stream of things to feed our fears and our anxieties force their way into our lives through printed material, videos, television programming, and social media. Driven by our fear of missing out, we open ourselves to this never-ending stream, lest some danger get past our anxious vigilance. There is no end to the dangers that trouble our hearts to the point of triggering our innate fight-or-flight response. Climate change, immigrants sneaking into our country, corrupt individuals seizing power locally, nationally, and internationally, fear of infiltration and invasion, fear of another world war, fear of vaccines and government overreach are all imagined threats to our peace and safety. Demagogues are willing to use those fears to hurt us along, and like lemmings, we scurry along in the strong belief that everyone jumping off the cliff together is the best way to end the fear. Sadly, technology that brings us such a flood of fearful information also isolates us, further stoking those fears. Ironically, we often know less about our next-door neighbor than we do about the person behind the fake social media profile anonymously goading us in our anxieties. When I was growing up in the 1950s and 60s, neighbors knew each other well, visiting back and forth in each other's homes and across back fences. I remember with fondness one man who would whistle while working in his yard. His heart overflowed with joy, and that joy flowed out into the neighborhood. That pleasant practice has now been replaced with disrespect for others, with few asking themselves if what they are doing will be a blessing to others or an irritant. Instead, they see others who question their disrespect for others as being the irritant, taking away their opportunity to have fun. These people are nothing new. The prophet Isaiah had them in his day. Decrying their activities, he wrote, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Isaiah 5, verse 20. It was a desire of the Pharisees of Jesus' time, to exact revenge for his challenge to their authority that led them to persecute and kill him and his followers. They also manipulated the fears of others to increase their own power and wealth. They did not have the technology we have today to advance those aims, but they were nonetheless largely successful in their wicked campaign to consolidate power, until the lid blew off in 70 AD when Jerusalem fell to Roman legions and the Jews were expelled. This is always a danger when manipulating others through stoking their fears. Someone always seems to come along that is better at it and takes away the power structure created, then twisting it to their own agenda. This should be a lesson for those who try to build up a church of followers by adding to the fears they already carry the additional fears of missing heaven and going to hell. In some cases, justice may demand the existence of a hell, but it is not God's will that anyone should end up there. Jesus would rescue every lost sheep. He expressed it like this: "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish." Matthew 18, verses 10 through 14. Nevertheless, while Jesus is engaged in trying to save all, we are too often doing the opposite and driving sheep away because their differences threaten those manipulating our fears. We fear God less than we do those who pat us on the head and say, "Good Christian," when we respond to the puppet strings of fear as they pull them and incite us to do and think things that Jesus never would. To find our way back out of fear, we need to find our way back to creation and God who made us. He created us to be in His image, according to Genesis 1, verse 27. That image is all about love, not fear, according to 1 John 4, verse 8. The book of Revelation, which speaks about the end times, calls us back to that original relationship with God. Worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water, Revelation 14, 7. The prophet Haggai tells us, "This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear," Haggai 2, verse 5. Fear has turned our hearts as cold as stone, even toward those we would normally love. But God can change that. He will take those hardened hearts and restore them to the loving hearts we were created to have. When we find God, He will heal us, and our love for Him will grow. As it grows, our love for others will grow as well. We will begin to love others as we love ourselves, wishing for them the same blessings we seek. Jesus wept over Jerusalem and the manipulative religion that had grown there. He saw the advantage taken by a priesthood that used fear to coerce the people to enrich themselves and the government. With tears in his voice, he lamented, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." Matthew 23, verse 37. Little has changed since then. Populist preachers manipulate others still and rake in rivers of gold, building themselves an empire here on earth, not realizing they are tossing aside the one that might have been theirs if, instead of enriching themselves, they had taught others to humbly seek God's love and learn how to live that love to their neighbors, their poor neighbors, their neighbors from other countries, other races, even their hateful neighbors, for God loves even the unrighteous, according to Matthew 5, verses 44 and 45. When the kingdom of Samaria fell to the Assyrians and its people taken into captivity, the Assyrians settled other people in Samaria. It was not an easy resettlement. The new inhabitants asked for teachers to teach them how to worship the God of Israel, that things might go better for them. These were the ancestors of those the Jews called Samaritans in Jesus' day. after the name of the city of Samaria. The hatred for the Samaritans who took part of Israel was deep, and the hatred turned hearts on both sides to stone. When Jesus was once asked, "Who is my neighbor?" after telling a young lawyer that he was to love his neighbor, he told the story of an Israelite who was attacked by bandits and left for dead. Other Israelites passed by, unwilling to help, but a Samaritan came upon the injured man and did all he could to help him and aid in his recovery. He then asked, "Who was the neighbor here?" The answer was obvious. It was a Samaritan. When we put conditions on loving others, those conditions tend to expand, and in the end, we help no one. But after the parable and the lesson became clear, Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, along with hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find links to books by the author, as well as other articles. Once again, that's Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.